live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friend Sam and Ash, the injury attorneys, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Scott Culbranson back with you today here on the show. Lots to get to, lots of NFL news today. A Raiders free agent signing. We'll get to that in a second. First, I bring in my co-host today, the host of the very popular Just Pod Baby podcast, which you can get anywhere where you sign up your podcast. If you don't already subscribe to it, make sure you do. Part of the Silver and Black Today Media Group family here. And that is, of course, Mr. Evan Grote. Evan, 25 degrees, you tell me it's up there near Buffalo. You guys had warmer temperatures than Texas this past week. Are you expecting a big snow, too? I know the Northeast is going to get hammered this weekend, I think.
Yeah, you know, I haven't checked the forecast. You know, I expect snow all the time. So, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know what, it's snowing right now, but nothing hard. But yeah, I mean, at 25 degrees today, it's actually been a little bit warmer today than it's been the past couple weeks. It's been frigid up here, and we got a lot of snow just a couple days ago. I got about 10 inches of snow overnight, so we're always prepared for it here.
Yeah, you get like almost 100 inches up there a year. I think I average 90-something or whatever. So, yeah, you guys are like, yeah, so what? We got snow. Again, our thoughts and prayers out to the folks in Texas, including our own Q Myers, who's been impacted by all of this. Lots of folks in Raider Nation down in Texas and other parts of the country that have been going through this crazy week, and they're not hopping on a plane to Cancun or any of that stuff. But certainly we're thinking about all of you out there, and hopefully at least listening to some Raiders talk will brighten your day a bit. Breaking news at this hour, the Raiders have made a defensive line free agent signing. Dum, dum, dum. No, it's not Leonard Williams. No, it's not any of those big names. It's David Irving, of course. David Irving, the 6'7", 290-pound defensive lineman. Originally a Kansas City Chief, played with the Cowboys for four seasons. If you remember, the Raiders signed him to a practice squad deal. He sat out a year due to the league's marijuana stance, which obviously went away with the last CBA. They're not even testing for it anymore. David Irving came in, never really had a chance, I don't think, to get into the lineup for the Raiders, but they sign him. And Evan, yes, it's not the big splash signing Raider fans are waiting for, but I think taking a flyer, as you put it, on him early on and getting him in there, especially when they have only one interior defensive lineman under contract right now, and that, of course, is Mo Hurst. But I think this is a good move, and hopefully they can get something out of David Irving within Gus Bradley's new defensive scheme.
Yeah, a lot of people were excited when they went out and signed him last year. And as you mentioned, we were talking about it before we came on air. We never really got a chance to see anything from him. He only played in, it looks like, two appearances here, was on the practice squad. And so hopefully now that he'll have a full off season to be with the team. He's still only 27 years old, and he's got a lot of upside. So as you said, I have no problem with them taking a flyer on a guy like this. I'm sure it's a very team-friendly contract, and they need some bodies because as you mentioned, Maurice Hurst is the only guy they have right now on the interior part of the defensive line that's under contract. So they need to get some bodies in there, and they need to try to find some productive players, but with the team-friendly cap number, because as we'll get into a little bit later on in the show, the cap situation is real tight right now with this team.
It is, and 27 years old, as you mentioned. I mean, I think this guy's got huge upside. You know, I'm not saying Raider Nation should get overly excited yet, because he's got to prove it once they get into camp. Hopefully, they have a full camp and they can do that. And so, but I do think it's a good signing. Like you said, it's going to come very cheaply for them. And he's been in the building, so to speak, for almost a year. And well, not quite a year, but at least the whole season. So he's gotten familiar with Las Vegas. He's gotten familiar with the Raiders organization, John Gruden. Of course, he's got a coaching change, but Rod Marinelli sticks around, so he's already familiar with him. And then Gus Bradley and his new staff there with that cover three scheme, that easier, if you will, scheme in the 4-3. We'll see how David Irving does, but I think it's a good move. You got to get some bodies in there, and clearly the Raiders are not done yet when it comes to addressing the massive need they have in the interior of the defensive line as well as other places. You mentioned the salary cap, Evan. Today we know from the NFL that the salary cap will not be below $180 million. Other reports are pegging it closer to $185 million. And the Raiders, they're in a situation where they're at about $220. I think that's what we looked at earlier. And so the Raiders have work to do. If you look at what the Raiders have signed up for 2021, the cap total right now, they're over by about $13 million. So they got to figure it out, and they're going to have to make some tough choices. And we've talked about those choices here before, Evan, of course, on Trent Brown. We already know Tyrell Williams is in the past. He's gone. They're going to get some money there. Then you got the Marcus Mariota, $10.6 million hanging out there. You have a LaMarcus Joyner. And so this team, they have to do a lot to just get down to the limit, let alone find money to be able to pay free agents coming in.
Yeah, I believe the number, I have some notes here. I was doing a little research before we got on. 201 they're at, 201 million. So they're about $21 million over the cap right now. Which is the fifth most in the NFL right now. I didn't realize that. Compared to the rest of the league, they're in a pretty tough spot as far as the cap goes. And there's 15 teams right now that are currently over the cap. So this is affecting a lot of teams. This dramatic decrease in the cap, it's not only affecting the Raiders, it's affecting almost half the league. So they're going to have to shave about $21 million, as you said, just to get to that $180 million mark. And you hit on a lot of the big ones: Tyrell Williams, LaMarcus Joyner, Mariota. And I've been a guy who has been on the Trent Brown, in the Trent Brown camp. But when I take a deeper look at these numbers and these figures, and now that we have that 180 number to kind of work with, I don't think he survives that $14 million. They're going to have to spend that elsewhere. And, you know, a couple other names that I want to throw out there to you, Scott, and let me know what you think about a couple of these guys, because I was taking a deep look. I know that Richie Incognito is a name who's been mentioned before, $5.475 million that he could save them if he was released. But I want to ask you about Carl Nassib. And you know, the reason why I bring up Carl Nassib is because he was a guy who I was excited about when they brought him in last year. He was coming off two of his more productive seasons, but really was a big disappointment and was a healthy scratch at certain points in the season last year. His situation's a little bit trickier because he does come with some dead cap money, $5.75 million in dead cap, but he would still save them $3.75 million. I know it's not a whole lot of money, but I mean, they're going to be looking to pinch pennies here to be able to go out and sign some impact guys. And then the other name I want to mention to you is Jalen Richard. And, you know, I really like Richard. I think he's a good player. I think it's a great story, you know, being undrafted and whatnot, and then getting that deal with the Raiders. But, you know, we've really seen his playing time and his level of production really drop off since they've drafted Josh Jacobs. I mean, last year he only caught 19 balls, and the season before that, 36. And his primary role is as the third down back. So I just don't know if $3.5 million is getting your money's worth from a guy who doesn't play a whole lot of snaps and is only catching 19 passes. So those are two guys that I have written down here that may also be cap casualties here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, and you look at the players and the cap hit, not just dead cap, but just overall cap hit. You have Derek Carr leading the team. Obviously, your quarterback is usually going to do that. That's $22.1 million from a cap hit perspective. That's almost 12% of the team's entire salary cap. Then you have Trent Brown at 14. You have Corey Littleton at 13.7. Rodney Hudson at 13.6. We all agree. I don't think Rodney Hudson's going anywhere. But then you have Tyrell Williams, 11.6. He's gone. Then you save there. Joyner's another 11. So that's almost $23 million there. Mariota, 10.7. So now that's up to $33 million. Then you have Gabe Jackson. You know, that's a tough one too. I like Gabe Jackson. I don't think he's going to go anywhere, but that's almost $10 million. And then you mentioned the Nassib at $9.5 million with the 5.7 dead cap, and then Cleve Furrow at almost $9 million following that. And you mentioned the Richie Incognito near $5.5 million. So yeah, the Raiders have a lot of tough choices to make. I really believe that. And it's not that easy. I mean, yeah, the Trent Brown is easy. The Tyrell Williams, LaMarcus Joyner, and Mariota, I think those are the guys. If you can move Mariota, if not, you just got to release him. You get nothing for him, but at least you get that $10 million. So I don't see any of those guys coming back. The Trent Brown situation, though, is going to be interesting. I just don't know what they're going to do there and if they're going to keep him and if they can. And I think to your point about 15 teams being over this new $180 to $185 million salary cap is you're going to see some big names hit the market, too. And so that's great on one side of it, but how are the Raiders, if a big name hits the market, let's say on the defensive side, how are they going to go get that guy and balance this all out? Now, you have obviously some key players for the Raiders that are great, great bargains. Darren Waller at $6.3 million, it's almost $6.4. Colton Miller's only four. And then you talk about Jalen Richard, and I like Richard too. But Jalen Richard next year is $3.5 million. Josh Jacobs is just under that, although Jacobs has a $7 million dead cap hit as well. And then you have Jeff Heath, $3.1 million. So, that's why I think they got to get younger at safety, or they got to go get a veteran safety that can come in and either play for about that $3 million, or you structure a deal where you give them a big bonus with a lesser contract so that that they can fit it under the cap. But there's a lot of work to be done. We're going to talk to Vinny Bonsignore later in the show, as we do every day, and ask him a little bit about it. And then on tomorrow's show, we're going to get deep into the salary cap with an expert on it. That's Eric Edelman of Yahoo Sports tomorrow at 3 o'clock. He's going to give us kind of what we all need to know about the cap, because it's a problem. And it's not just as easy as cutting Trent Brown, Marcus Mariota, and Tyrell Williams and LaMarcus Joyner. With 100 to 185 million, all the teams in the NFL, it's not just the Raiders now. Now, some teams are obviously in worse shape than others, but they're going to have to figure it out. So we'll see how it all goes. Also, of course, we have the Carson Wentz trade today. Carson Wentz is being shipped to the Colts for a third round pick and a contingent number two that could land in the first round eventually. So the quarterback carousel, it moved again with the Stafford trade to Los Angeles, but at the same time, it kind of slowed down again. But now we have our second domino, as we've been talking about it, has fallen with Wentz now going to the Colts, which means the Bears, I think the Bears are next up. They're going to have to find a quarterback. I don't know. Maybe that's a spot for Marcus Mariota. Who knows? But I do think that you're going to start to see a lot more movement as we get into next week and the following couple weeks leading up to the NFL's new year. All right, we're going right on the phone lines, and Raider 27 is first up on this Thursday on Silver and Black today. You're with Evan and Scott. What's up, Raider 27?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, brother.
My NFL Game Pass working today. I had to reset my whole Roku system. So, hey, Evan, you know what? I listened to your podcast. I listen to them as I go to sleep, so I catch most of it.
I hope I don't put you to sleep.
No, it's not that. I've had issues going to sleep for years, and I was really grateful to find something to ease. Anyway, that's. I didn't want to insult you or anything like that, but I love your podcast. I listen to them.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to talk about team building, which is a good thing. You know, I read on Twitter, this is really easy. You just cut this guy, this guy, this guy. Then you just go sign everybody you want. So I don't know what the big deal is. You know,
yeah,
but I'm glad I don't have to do it, because this is hard. You got choices you got to make, and these are young men that you like. And you're going to have to cut some guys. And the thing about it is we were on the kind of wrong end of the salary cap deal there for a few years. We were way ahead of it. We had so much cap space, it was silly. And then we got better players, and we kept our own players, and we drafted better players and paid them. And then now we're not so much when catastrophe hit, and now there's going to be a lot of really, really good players. So I don't think we want to jump out there and say, oh, I'm going to sign somebody right off the bat. I think we'd be money ahead just to kind of wait and hold on and see who's available.
Raider 27, you bring up a good point, because, I mean, that's one thing that during his tenure, Reggie McKenzie and the Raider organization really got on top of was getting the salary cap under control. And those same guys that did that with Reggie McKenzie, by the way, are still in the building, so they haven't left. So I think there's going to be opportunity here And your point is well taken. I think there's going to be opportunity. I mean, the Trent Brown thing, it's easy to say cut his $14 million, but if you can restructure that deal, if they believe that he's coming back and that he can be committed to this team and ready to play football again, then maybe you restructure that so you could cut it in half or something for this year so that you save some money, you give him a nice big signing bonus. And I know that rubs a lot of Raider Nation the wrong way because the guy hasn't been on the field. He's had some issues with the COVID bracelet and all that stuff. So fans are not real high on Trent Brown right now, but the guy has great talent. So if they can restructure that, and then there's a couple other guys that you have to look at maybe restructuring. And that's why I brought up the Derek Carr extension, is you might be able to extend him and move some of that money out of this year into following years so that, and even though his number from a cap hit perspective is very low for a top 10 quarterback, but to me, there's got to be some creativity there. There's got to be some guys that they're working on, and I'm sure that's exactly what they're doing. But you bring up a good point, which is it's not that easy. And even if you have really good cap people in the building, there's still work to be done, and I that's the concern I have with Raider Nation is I think they might fill a lot of these roles with guys that are good players, and they might make one big splash on that defensive line, but that might be all they can afford.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Let me, I just comment real quick. And I think talking about, you know, the guys in the building that work those numbers and work those caps, I think that Mayock has done a good job in his first couple years here of structuring some of these contracts. I mean, you may disagree with the amount of money that was given to guys like Tyrell Williams or, you know, LaMarcus Joyner, but he did structure them so that there's an out there after a couple of years, which will really benefit the team right now. I mean, think about Tyrell Williams, Trent Brown, and LaMarcus Joyner. Those are all three contracts that they most likely will get out of, and they can get out of it without hardly any dead cap space money. So they've done a good job doing that. Hopefully they will continue to do a good job that here and down the road.
Yeah, Raider 27, thanks for the call as always, man. We appreciate you. And that's the thing, too. That's why somebody like Corey Littleton, Evan, I mean, I like Corey Littleton. I think he will bounce back. And frankly, with the cap numbers they have with him, I mean, he's a $19 million dead cap hit this year. Right, he's got 13.7 standard cap hit. To me, that, you know, you he's got to perform, because that could end up being a nightmare contract if he doesn't find himself. But I believe he will. I'm not that concerned with Corey Littleton as I am with some of the other guys that are making that money. But we'll have to see what happens with that. That leaves open a line for you to call in. What do you guys think? And what are the Raiders going to do about this salary cap situation now at 180 to 185 million and somewhere between 13 and 21 million over the cap? As we sit today with the Raiders, depending how you look at it, 702-365-9200 is the number to get on with Scott and Evan here on Silver and Black today. But Evan, going back to the Carson Wentz trade, really interesting here too, because you know, Carson Wentz, we heard for a week that Carson Wentz was meant for Chicago, that he was going to go to Chicago, that they were offering the best deal, and Philly was standing pat on what they wanted. They wanted a number one and they wanted a two or somewhere around there. It turns out they get a two and possibly a one, and that's all dependent on performance and whatnot and how things finish up. But Carson Wentz now is going to Indy, which is a very good team that needed a quarterback, because you have the situation with Philip Rivers retiring after just one season there. And Carson Wentz, who performed well until this year, he had trouble. I mean, obviously he's had trouble staying on the field with injuries, but now they get a quarterback in Philly that, if they can resurrect him and they can do a good job, which you have to believe Frank Reich, who has done really, really well with quarterbacks. He also played coached Philip Rivers in the past, and so they had good results this year. And Wentz, obviously being a lot younger and a lot earlier in his career than Rivers was, who was really pretty much at the tail end at the very end. But this one, it then begs the question, what are the Bears, Broncos, Washington football team, and Patriots going to do as these guys start to move around, their opportunities and their choices start to dwindle?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a good fit for Carson Wentz, first of all. I think going over to Indianapolis, they're already they're a playoff team, and he's got some, you know, he's familiar with the head coach, Frank Wright, from over with his days with the Eagles. And, you know, they got a strong offensive line, a strong run game, and a very good defense. So I think as far as a fit goes, Carson Wentz has to be a very happy man. And I think the Colts you know, totally robbed the Eagles with this one. If they can rejuvenate him, as you mentioned, I mean, this guy is only 2 years removed from a 4,000 plus yard season, 27 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions. And before you guys think, wow, aren't you getting a little, you know, maybe overdoing it? Derek Carr just came off a 4,000 yard season as well with 27 touchdowns. And we have a lot of people, you know, we're pretty satisfied with that. So if they can get Wentz back to playing the type of football that he was playing in the first 3 or 4 years of his career, I think it's a steal for the Colts. So I think they've done a great job there. And as far as the, you know, the next domino piece that would fall, I think you're right. I think Marcus Mariota is the next guy. I think he's the next guy. I'm looking at a list of guys I've got written down here, Darnold and Tua and Teddy Bridgewater. These are all names that we've kind of heard tossed out there in the last few weeks. But I think Marcus Mariota has got to be at the top of the list. I think that would be a good fit for him with the Bears. I think that's, they got a strong defense, and I think he'd fit in there nicely with that team.
Yeah, and a former guest here on the show, Jim Aiello, over at the Indianapolis Star, also reported today that the Colts, a league source said the Colts were a team that checked in on Derek Carr and that the Raiders gave him a, quote, a pretty firm not available. So for any of you who are holding out hope that Derek Carr will be traded, I would not, if you were a betting person, I would not bet on that. As we all believe, Derek Carr isn't going anywhere. All right, we'll get one more call in here before the break. It is our good friend Gangster Raider down in Los Angeles. Gangster Raider, you're on with Scott and Evan. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's happening? I just want to say that with the cap being what it is, if it's 180, I think we need to, first of all, see if we can get Derek Carr to restructure to an extremely team-friendly contract. Yep. Then try to see if we can do the same with I think it's Rodney Harris. I mean, Jackson. Is it Gabe Jackson or Harrison? It's got the long contract.
Gabe Jackson. Yeah, Gabe Jackson.
See if he can do the same thing. Then that should be able to get us some money. Then if we get rid of Mariota, that'll cut down like 10. You know what I'm saying? I think we need to try to, if Corey Littleton doesn't restructure his deal, I think we should try to trade him and improve that position. And that'll save us at least, what, 12 or 13 more on top of that? And also,
well, Corey Littleton's $19 million, and he restructured his deal when he came over from the Rams.
Yeah, so that's a long shot, so right?
Yeah, it's definitely a long shot. I think they still, and I do too. You might disagree with me, Gangster Raider, and that's fine. But I think he'll bounce back in this defense. Excuse me, with Gus Bradley, I think he'll bounce back and he'll earn that.
Yeah,
debt.
I think so too, because I think they were just playing him in the wrong position. Him and LaMarcus. Yep. It was in the wrong positions. They need to switch, you know what I'm saying? And then maybe that would have not switched, but, you know, went to their natural positions. Like, LaMarcus needs to be a safety. He played better at safety. And Corey Littleton, he needs to be like the Mike, but the freelance Mike. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Yeah, and so I think LaMarcus Joyner will make it. I think they're going to.
I think
with LaMarcus Joyner, I think they'll cut him because I think they want to go out and they want to get an alpha dog at safety. Not that LaMarcus Joyner can't play good safety, because you're right, that's his better position. But I think I think they're going to turn the page on that one. But yeah, it's tough, Gangster Raider. They're going to have to free these dollars. And you're right, a Derek Carr restructure, maybe even a Rodney Hudson restructure. I mean, hey, Rodney Hudson deserves every dollar he gets. He's the best in the league. But at the same time, if they want to win together and they feel like that offense is where they want it to be overall, then that's what you do, is you have those discussions with the agent and say, hey guys, we're trying to get to a championship level caliber team here. We need that offensive line.
Question.
So we need you guys to restructure him and Gabe. Gabe's, yeah, go ahead.
Who's the big ticket price player on defense? And can we restructure him? Who's the highest, you know, who's the biggest cap hit on defense, I should say, this year coming up? And can we do something with him, whoever that is?
That's Littleton. That's Littleton at $19 million on dead cap. And then Joyner is second. He's only 2.5 on dead cap, but he's $11 million overall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a tough position, man.
Mm-hmm. But just like you say, half the league is going to be in the same position, so.
Yep.
It might work to our favor, because a lot of people might have to give release. And if we can get some team-friendly contracts from the big ticket players just for this year, and then maybe pay a little bit more when the cap go back regular next year, maybe we could work it like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. And Gangster Raider, man, as always, we appreciate you and thank you for the call. Yeah, I think that you can do that too with bonuses. You can give them a bunch of cash up front so that the cap hit is lesser on the back end, especially against a dead cap. All right, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, I'm going to be joined by Nick Cothrell from silverandblacktoday.com. He put out our first mock draft, a full 7-round mock draft, and some surprises on there. And I think that he did a really good job on it. I want to get what you guys think about that. So we're going to talk to Nick. And then once we're done with Nick, we want to hear what you think of this first round mock draft from silverandblacktoday.com. So you'll get on the phone lines and wait your turn. Tell me what you think. 702.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back to Silver and Black today here on this Thursday. And of course, it is what you guys all love out there, right? Which is mock draft season. We got 2 months until the NFL draft. The Raiders have a lot of needs. They're going to be active in the draft, you would imagine. But there's 2 months to go. So yes, you're going to be stuck with all of us doing mock drafts, including you. Fans are doing them more now because of great online tools. But we at Silver and Black today and up on the website at silverandblacktoday.com put out our first 21 7-round full Raiders draft. That's pre-free agency. And the gentleman who wrote that is now our guest. That is Nick Cothrell. He's a staff writer at silverandblacktoday.com as well as writing on the Draft Network and elsewhere. Nick, thanks for being with us today, man. And it is mock draft season. First, tell me, how was it for you doing your first mock draft? Did you try to do it differently? Did you have a different approach than you have done in past seasons?
First of all, you know, the draft period is always a fun time. For me, I really get into this stuff, you know, seeing these college prospects. I just geek out over it. So it's a fun time. For this mock draft in particular, I really tried to do it around an emphasis of kind of projecting who I think the Raiders may target in free agency. Mm. That way it kind of caters more towards a realistic outcome come draft. Obviously, that's easier said than done. But yeah, I definitely did that to the best of my capability there.
Yeah, now coming off the last two seasons, the Raiders obviously had multiple first-round picks. They had 5 over the last 2 years. That's not the case this year. They have the one at number 17. So as far as the tool used, what did you use to kind of make these picks and to see how the board in this scenario would fall before you?
Yeah, so I used Pro Football Network's Mock Draft Simulator. So you just go in, you select your team, and then there's a computer-generated draft. So then you got your draft board when you're up. Guys have already been taken. And so I kind of did a little bit of best player available as well as targeting positions of need for the Raiders without you know, going overboard and overreaching.
Yeah. So let's start this out. So we go to round one, pick number 17. Clearly, the Raiders, as we discussed on the show here yesterday, defensive tackle, defensive end, safety, linebacker. I mean, there's so many needs here. But you went a way that I love because I just happen to be a big fan and I like his attitude. I like his ability. And at pick number 17, the selection you had in your mock draft was Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa from Notre Dame, the linebacker and slash safety. He is that slash guy that you're seeing, that hybrid player you're seeing a lot more in the NFL. You know, I've had some people say, well, he's much more of a safety than he is a linebacker. That's not necessarily true, is it?
For me, I kind of lean that way, actually, because I look at it as now I do think he is like this year's Isaiah Simmons, right? Mm. He can play linebacker. He can be used in the slot here and there. He can play safety, but he only weighs 215 pounds. There really isn't a whole lot of linebackers in the NFL that are, you know, that thin. So I think most teams probably will view him as a safety, but I don't think he's necessarily stuck there. And if you look at, especially for the Raiders, this is why I love the fit here, is Gus Bradley is not afraid to drop his safeties into that linebacker type role. It is exactly how he used Derwin James. And I know there's been a lot of talk of even maybe using Jonathan Abram that way, but Jeremiah Owusu-Kimura, he as well can do that. And if you want to use Jonathan Abram in that role, then you drop back JOK and he can play that free safety role. So he can play both safety positions, and that's why I think it makes this pick so intriguing, is you're not locked into one specific role.
Yeah, no, and the thing about JOK is that he has that ability too. Like you said, he can come up and play the line a lot, like Jamal Adams does, and rush the football up the middle too. To me, and that's a big key there, playing safety, that hybrid position, safety linebacker, whatever you want to call it. And so I like the pick. I know a lot of people, clearly the Raiders need to get better up front on the defensive tackle, but depending how the draft falls, and clearly in yours, he was the best player available and fits that need. All right, we go to round number two, and the Raiders have pick number 48. And I've been saying, Nick, again, I've been saying for weeks that I have concern about the Raiders' offensive line, not only because we don't know of the decision yet around right tackle Trent Brown and whether they're going to bring him back, whether they're going to try to re-sign him to a cap-friendly deal and bring him back, or if they're going to let him go or try to trade him, whatever they may end up doing. Was not a good year for Trent Brown because he couldn't stay on the field for various reasons, some perhaps his fault, some not his fault. And so when you look at the Raiders, I've been saying that, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if they go offensive tackle high in the draft. At pick number 48, you have them taking a quote-unquote a small school, although North Dakota State has been so good in their division for so long that I don't know if I consider them a small program anymore. But you have Dylan Radins from North Dakota State. Talk about why this guy at tackle in the second round might be a good choice for the Silver and Black in 2021.
Yeah, I really think that the Raiders' offensive tackle is really, it's a need that not enough people are really talking about because I'll be honest, I even considered mocking Christian Darrisaw to the Raiders in the first round. I think this is a position that they really need to shore up. We still don't know if Trent Brown is coming back. If he comes back, you can still draft a tackle in the second round. Maybe he's your swing tackle in his rookie season, and then he, you know, switches into that starting role. Because Colton Miller is going to – he's entering his fourth year. So next offseason, that's when you're going to start talking about extensions. Mm-hmm. And while you think you paid a lot for Trent Brown, Colton Miller is going to get the same type of money. You know, he's been spectacular, and he plays all the time. I think this was the first time he's even missed a game this season. So I don't think you can get trapped into paying two tackles because they're just a premium to pay on the free agent market. So I think the way is to develop and draft a tackle, and I think Dylan Radnitz from North Dakota State is a great option. He's had a lot of first-round buzz, and then at North Dakota State, their conference – canceled the fall season, so he really wasn't able to play, kind of similar to, you know, his teammate Trey Lance, where both of them are kind of falling down draft boards. It's not exactly their fault. Now, he did go to the Senior Bowl and answered a lot of questions because going from North Dakota State, while they're a powerhouse in the FCS, they still are, you know, they're not exactly the Power Five. So he played against a bunch of guys who were in the SEC, in the ACC, and he really held his own in the Senior Bowl. I was watching a bunch of the tape from his outing there, and I thought he did every bit to help himself. I really didn't see any issues.
Yeah, no, there was great buzz from the Senior Bowl about his play down there and how he held up, especially after missing the whole season. But that's what we're going to see with a lot of these players, right? This is where you might end up, if your scouting department is really good, you might end up with some really good first-round talent in the second and third round just because some of these guys didn't play and you don't have fresh tape on them. Again, we're talking to Nick Cotherill. He is a staff writer with us at silverandblacktoday.com. We're doing his seven round mock draft. We're up to round three, pick number 80. You finally address some up front on the defense, and this one's an interesting one. Edge Quincy Roach out of Miami. Talk about Roach, because he transferred and then of course COVID hits, right, and he doesn't really get a lot of time on the field, but he also did pretty well at the Senior Bowl. What is it about Quincy Roach that you think would be a good fit for the Raiders on the other edge?
Yeah, you know, I'm really high on Quincy Roche. I think he is
Roche. Thank you. Thank you for the pronunciation correction. I appreciate that.
No worries, Scott. I think he is better than like even a third round pick. I mean, I would consider taking him in the second round. I was kind of reading the board, and there was still a lot of players ahead of him, so I was willing to wait until the third round to mock him there. But I think he brings high energy, big motor, and he's not one or the other. He has speed and power, and I think that is something that the Raiders really need on the edge, because Farrell is more of your, you know, power guy. Mm-hmm. Max Crosby is that high motor, lot of energy, and I think Quincy Roche, you know, he has multiple ways that he can beat tackles, and he's done it at two different levels. He did it in the American Conference at Temple, and then he did it in the ACC with Miami. So he's shown you in two different conferences. He really dominated in both instances. So I really don't see an issue taking Quincy Roche in the third round here.
Yeah, from him going from the American Conference to the ACC and not skipping a beat, I think tells you that this guy has that talent. And under 9 sacks per season the final 2 years of the school, I mean, just a great one. So a guy that definitely you want to watch out. Now, another need people don't really talk about all that much, although we've talked a lot about it on this show, is the fact that the Raiders also need that spell running back for Josh Jacobs. You have them going fourth round for a running back, which I think is pretty good. At pick number 121, you have running back Chuba Hubbard out of Oklahoma State. What is it about Hubbard that you think would be a good fit for him in the Raiders offense, in John Gruden's offense, behind Josh Jacobs, the starter?
Yeah, I know you guys have talked a lot on the show here about drafting a running back and getting somebody that can, you know, complement Josh Jacobs. And I think Chuba Hubbard is that guy. He was sensational in 2019, rushed for over 2,000 yards. I mean, the guy was just a machine. He was literally putting the team on his back and take him to the promised land. And in 2020, his role kind of tailored off a little. I don't know if it was exactly – you know, he just wasn't getting quite the opportunities. COVID, they didn't play nearly as many games. Mm-hmm. But I still like Chuba Hubbard. I think the only reason he's still available in, you know, the third, fourth, fifth round is because he's not much of a pass catcher. But that's not really what the Raiders even need, because they have Josh Jacobs who can do both. They still have Jalen Richard, not sure what his future is. But Chuba Hubbard can be that guy for the Raiders who runs with a lot of physicality and power on short yardage situations. And if Josh Jacobs needs to take a full series off, you know, he's shown he can carry the workload as he did for Oklahoma State.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Nick Cothrell from silverandblacktoday.com is going with us through his 7-round mock draft for 2021, our first up on the site, our first here on the show. Going to the 5th round, Nick, here's another one. You know, people don't look at the fact that the Raiders are going to have to probably replace some wide receivers. We talked about it earlier, the fact that it doesn't look like, at least from what we've been told, that Nelson Aguilar will be back because of cost. At round 5, pick 163, you have a guy here that's a really interesting thing. I think a developmental project, but has really come on late in his college career, and that is Cornell Powell out of Clemson. Clemson, you know, his first couple years, he didn't catch more than 15 passes over 3 years, actually. But then this past year, 53 receptions for 882 yards, 7 touchdowns. Of course, playing with Trevor Lawrence, he is one of those Clemson guys, and we all know what Mayock and Gruden do with Clemson guys that like to bring him in there. But what is it about this guy that you see? I mean, clearly would be a developmental guy, but the thing that's good about him, I believe, Nick, is that he can fit in any system and he could play pretty much any role you need him to.
Yeah, I think that's huge because, yeah, Hunter Renfrow, he has the slot position locked down. I think he's tremendous, but, you know, there's going to come a time where maybe you want to, you know, have Hunter on a jet sweep, so to speak, mm-hmm. or you put Cornell Powell in the slot. They can use a guy behind Hunter for depth purposes for that slot role. I really don't think this team has that. And then on top of that, Cornell Powell can, you know, also work on the outside. Now, like you were saying, that the odds are the Raiders are probably going to lose Nelson Aguilar. And I think you just draft a receiver. You just drafted Henry Ruggs in the first round. Bryan Edwards in the third round who had a second round grade by many people. See what they got. Let them earn their spot. And, you know, let's see what they can do as two starters. Maybe you draft a veteran wide receiver on like a cheap, you know, 1 year deal, kind of like what they did with Nelson Aguilar last offseason to kind of, you know, help elevate that room. But I certainly wouldn't spend a surplus of money in free agency. And back to Cornell Powell, I just think he's very fundamentally sound. And, you know, he averaged over 16 yards per reception this last season. So he shows he has that big play ability. And I think that's something that the Raiders could use with Nelson Aguilar potentially walking out.
Yeah, day three option there would be fantastic, because you're right. I think that's what they need to do, is they need to go find a veteran that could be in there, be a steadying force with that young group of guys there, and give you the receptions you need. But at the same time, when you have Darren Waller, who's basically your number one receiver anyway, I think you could do that, and you can go develop young players. That's going to help with the salary cap significantly. Yeah. The other position too, Nick, and you address it in round six at pick 204, is one that I also get concerned with, just because I don't think you can ever be too deep, and it takes time to develop, and that is at cornerback. You have the Raiders at pick 204 taking cornerback Cameron Bynum out of California. He also played in the Senior Bowl. What is it about this cornerback that you think fits nicely with the Trayvon Mullins, Damon Arnett, and that defensive backfield that's already young for the Raiders?
Yeah, so now in like the sixth, seventh round, you're kind of getting into your depth guys. And so Cameron Bynum, he's a guy that really interests me because he's played right away since he was a true freshman. And when I was watching some of his clips, he seems very physical. And that's exactly what the Raiders got when they drafted Damon Arnett and even Trayvon Mullen a year prior. And so I think he fits the Raiders' mold of what they look for in a cornerback. I don't think he's a guy that you're just going to, you know, plug and play. Could even be a situation where he's like an Amik Robertson, where he was only called upon in certain situations when they were kind of in a dire need, at least for his rookie year. Now, if you look at like the Tampa Bay Bucks, who just won the Super Bowl, almost every corner on their team, they drafted. So I think that's something that maybe you look towards, because you, like you said, Scott, you can never have enough corners. And Cameron Bynum is a guy who is going late, but he's shown flashes of what he can really do, as he was a big part of that Cal defense.
Yeah, and when, like you said, when you get into these later rounds, six and seven, these are guys that are going to be developmental guys, or like you said, depth guys. They're going to be role-playing guys that you hope you can develop, because they don't cost you a ton of money anyway. So next, at pick 246, so the final pick, round seven of our first mock draft here with Silver and Black, today's staff writer, Nick Cothrell, we get to a defensive tackle, Jordan Scott of Oregon. This guy's interesting to me, Nick, that you had him as a selection late in the round. Not a lot of risk here, but he kind of aligned and played at nose tackle in a zero technique for Oregon there. So this might be the kind of guy you bring in and hope that he can to make the team as a sub package rusher. He's used to that 4-3 scheme. He could be one of those rushers in a sub package situation. What did you like about him? Why'd you pick him there in the seventh round?
Yeah, so at this point, I'm assuming that the Raiders are going to go out in free agency and sign a defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. It's one of their biggest needs. It's apparent. They've drafted defensive tackles in the past, and none of them, while Maurice Hurst has shown a lot of promise, none of them have really, you know, really hit it out of the park for them. So I think that's a position that should be number one on their radar for free agency. So I didn't take a defensive tackle early here. So Jordan Scott, he's that run-stuffing defensive tackle. Not going to give you a whole lot of production in terms of rushing the passer, but he kind of fulfills that Jonathan Hankins role, where he's just clogging the holes, and he's really just a burden on the opposing team's running game. And so he was a guy late in the draft that was still available that I thought was a good value pick, given what his skill set could provide the Raiders' defensive front.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. And Nick, that's the thing. I mean, to just put a bow here on this first mock draft, and of course we'll do several others as things unfold. I mean, if, you know, news happens every day. We saw some dominoes fall today, obviously, with the Wentz news and some of these other things going on. But the Raiders, when they start getting active in free agency, you know, if you said, and I'm under the same assumption you are, my man, which is if they go out and they are active on the defensive line in free agency and maybe at safety, then the picks that you have here in this this first mock draft up on silverandblacktoday.com make a lot of sense. But it'll be interesting. It's going to be I just look at it from this way, and you touch on this in your piece that everybody should read, which is you know, there's a lot of needs here for the Raiders. Some of them are kind of under the radar, like we talked about with offensive tackle and wide receiver. So it's not just a simple prospect, Nick, of going out and drafting to fix the defense, is it?
No, it's not. Like you had mentioned, I mean, like wide receiver, that you're losing a lot of production from Nelson Agholor. I mean, while Darren Waller was the number one option, Nelson Agholor was your deep threat. It wasn't Henry Ruggs. So you're losing a lot there. So you're hoping that Henry Ruggs and like a Bryan Edwards can step up, but at the same time, you're still going to need to add a wide receiver. I mean, just because the defense was pretty bad last year doesn't mean you can ignore the offense, because down the stretch of the back half of the season, the offense was at fault at times too.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, that's, and we're actually going to talk about that next hour, that there's a lot of people giving the offense a pass, especially when they kind of folded down the end of it. So that's good stuff. But Nick, we look forward to reading your next mock draft when we get ready to do that. But in the meantime, make sure you follow Nick on Twitter at Nick Cothrell, NickCothrell. We will link him up, as we always do, from Silver and Black Today when we publish his story. Nick, thanks for joining us here today, man. We'll talk to you real soon.
Great to talk to you, Scott.
All right. As we move forward, we're going to take your phone calls when we come back. Tell us what you think of Nick's first mock draft on silverandblacktoday.com. You're with Scott and Evan here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, as we approach the end of hour number one. Just went over our first mock draft. Thanks to Nick Cothrell, our staff writer up on silverandblacktoday.com. We're going to go right to some calls here so we can get them in before the break. It is Steve. Steve, you're on with Evan and Scott. What did you think of the mock draft? What would you do?
Depending on what we do on free agency, I do like that mock draft, but we definitely have to get a defensive tackle and a free safety. And here's a name that, I mean, I know people was mentioning him during the season, but I haven't heard much in the offseason. I would grab Earl Thomas. He's familiar with Gus Bradley's system. Him and Richard Sherman, they should come off cheap deals because they're at the back end of their career. But we definitely, in defensive tackle, I would get a stud. I would try to get the best defensive tackle available through free agency. Because we have to stop with the bargain shopping and free agency on defense. That's what we've been doing the last 3 years. Yeah, what's good is it's spending all this money on five guys when we're not difference makers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I'm just concerned with the money involved because, you know, as you might have heard earlier in the show, we went over the Raiders salary cap situation. And I think you're right. I think they can probably afford to, in free agency, go get one big name, one stud to come in there, but then you're going to have to fill the rest of those roles, I think, with second tier guys or do it through the draft.
Right. I mean, yeah. Here's the thing, especially we got young players in the secondary, and a lot of them are first and second year players going to next year, so they have to learn a whole other system. That's why you definitely need to get some veterans in that secondary, though, preferably veterans that's familiar with the system to teach the young guys.
Yeah. All right, Steve. I agree with you 100%, man. I've been saying the same exact thing. We appreciate your call. Don't be a stranger. Call back in again. All right. We're going out to another caller on the Raider Nation Radio listener hotline. That is Brother Marquis. Brother Marquis, you're on with Scott and Evan. What's going on, my man?
Hey, Scott. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. It's good to hear from you.
Likewise, man. I wanted to. You touched on a point, and I've been having this argument with multiple of my friends, and the point about the offense, not ignoring the offense. And mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. I'm of opinion that I think the defense is going to incrementally get better just by the scheme change in health on that side of the ball. And so, yes, we may need to bring in some guys, obviously. But, you know, don't lose track of the offense, because I think the team is even better. Let's say you incrementally go up to 20th, 22nd on defense. If you have a top three offense, if you're special on one side of the ball, then it gives you so much room for error on the other side. I'd rather be special on one side of the ball than mediocre on both.
Yeah, no, you're right, because I agree. That's why I think now the Raiders defense was bad this year, but I call it football purgatory. When you're 8-8 or 9-7 or 7-9, that's what it is you might have an offense that's really good, not top five, but like the Raiders top 10, and then you got a bad defense. It's just you get nowhere. So I agree with you on offense, and that's something we're going to talk about next hour to kick it off, because, you know, as Nick said in his mock draft, he had Dylan Radins from North Dakota State at offensive tackle. You know, everybody talks about how great the offensive line is for the Raiders, and don't get me wrong, they have been very good. Even last year when they were banged up and they were putting guys like Denzel Good, who, by the way, is a free agent, in there. But you can't take an approach where it's like, well, the defense is so bad, we have to do everything on defense and nothing on offense, because it's the NFL, man. You have to constantly retool, get better, find replacements, find depth to be able to do that. So if you want to stay a top 10 offense, and then you want to get that defense up to 20, 19, 18, something like that, where you're a legitimate playoff team, you have to address both sides of the ball. I could not agree more.
Absolutely. And if you were to even look at this season, if our offense was just better than it was this year, then we would have won a couple more games. You'd be a playoff team. Regardless of how bad the defense was, if the offense was better in the red zone down the stretch, we're better. We're a playoff team.
Yes, that is the perfect segue for our next segment after the break. Brother Marquis, thanks, man. Don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you real soon, buddy.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
All right. Yeah, Evan, I mean, we're going to talk about it in the next segment, but because your defense was quote-unquote so bad, you can't just say, okay, well, we're not going to touch the offense.
Yeah, that was a great call there by Brother Marquis, and you've touched on this before. I mean, yes, we all know the big problem with this team is the defense. There's no denying that, but down the stretch, the offense shows some flaws, and there's things that they need to improve on as well. And, you know, at the top of the show, we talked about if they are going to free up some money, they may need to do so by getting rid of a Trent Brown and possibly a Richie Incognito. So that offensive line that was a strength for you a year ago now may not be a strength this year, and you got to find people to go in there and replace those guys that you're getting rid of. So yeah, it's like a juggling act, and you know, it's going to be very, very difficult for Mike Mayock and John Gruden to even it out on both sides, make both sides of the ball competitive.
You're right. All right. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to take a break. When we come back, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Raiders offense and what they need to do. And no, it doesn't start with quarterback. I know for some of you, it begins and ends every day, you thinking about quarterback on the Raiders and Derek Carr not being with the Raiders, but that's not going to happen. So what else do the Raiders need to do on offense? What did we see towards the end of the year that gave Raider Nation a ton of concerns? We'll talk about that next here with Evan and Scott on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.